I'm Charlie Rose.
I'm Nora O'Donnell.
And I'm Gail King. Hey, this is a CBS This Morning podcast.
Hey, we are live and in color. We thank you for joining us on Facebook Live, whether you're Facebook Live or CBS This Morning podcast. I'm Gail King, and you are?
Jason Reynolds.
What you mean to say is best-selling author.
Jason Reynolds.
Jason, by the way, has a new book out. It's called Long Way Down. It's published by Athenian Books, which is an imprint of Simon & Schuster, a division of CBS. But this is the thing. Jason, on this day, live Tuesday, October 24th, 2017, look what's on the front page of the Washington Post style section. And where is it located?
Above the fold.
Above the fold. So, you know, this is a really big deal. I just want to say this to you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jason Reynolds, in case you weren't watching CBS This Morning, which we hope is your favorite morning show, but just in case you missed it yesterday, we did a great piece on Jason Reynolds where we introduced you to the audience to talk about Long Way Down.
Yeah.
And what attracted me to you is that you're this best-selling author who's written several books, but you did not read your first book cover to cover until you were 17.
No.
And
no.
I thought, how is that possible? Why is that possible?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I think for me, when I was younger, it wasn't about the actual reading process. It was about the fact that I didn't think that stories were written for me, right?
You talk about Moby Dick, Jason.
I do. I talk about Moby Dick, and I talk about how, like, it's really strange that they would want me to read a book like Moby Dick because a lot of the kids in my neighborhood had never seen a whale or boats or anything like that. It didn't seem applicable to my life. It didn't seem relatable to me. I would have rather had seen slice of life stories about kids growing up in my neighborhood with sunflower seeds and ice cream trucks and things that we were experiencing.
Yeah, you call it writing in a natural voice.
Yes, in a natural voice.
What does that mean?
It means that in every single era, there is a natural voice of that era, specifically when you break it down by cultures. In my time, in the hip-hop generation, there's a natural voice that we all have depending upon where you're from. It just so happens that that natural voice, everyone said, was improper.
Yeah.
Right? It's improper English.
Yeah.
Right? Where for me, it didn't feel improper for me. It felt natural. It felt familiar.
Uh-huh.
And so putting that voice on the page was important for me.
And you credit rap music.
Yes.
For really changing your life and time in terms of how you looked at reading, how you looked at poetry.
Absolutely.
And when it comes to rap music in particular, I was surprised to hear that you credit who?
Queen Latifah.
The great Queen Latifah. Oh, sorry. The great Queen Latifah. And she's great because?
She's great for me because she was the first cassette tape I bought.
Uh-huh.
It was the beginning. That's the first one that I ever bought with my own money. And I read
what
those lyrics.
It
was Black Rain, which is the album that the famous U and I T Y.
No, it's not U and I. It's U and I T Y.
That's very.
You gotta sing it, Jason.
U and I T Y.
There you go.
Of course.
U and I T Y. You gotta U and I T Y. Okay, so that was that album.
That was that album.
What did you get from that album?
I read the lyrics.
Uh-huh.
I read the lyrics from the liner notes. So I didn't just listen to the album, but I read what she had written, and I saw the way the stanzas were broken down verse by verse, and I realized that Latifah. And that everybody in that generation, right? They're teenagers, by the way. They were kids,
uh-huh.
teenagers, that they were writing this brilliant poetry.
Uh-huh.
And that poetry is what sort of it catalyzed me in a way, and it started me on my path of writing poetry.
In our piece, you compared, and I never thought about this, but you compared Queen Latifah to Maya Angelou.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, you say that like, yes, Gail, of course I did.
Well,
help us see the connection.
Well, I think that if we look at it, if we take away the sort of generational coding, right? So what I mean by that is when we talk about natural tongue, when we talk about the context, I think if you take the context away, what you see is if you take a song like Ladies First, you take a song like Phenomenal Woman, the sentiment of those two pieces are exactly the same. This sort of an anthem for women to say, I am strong and you are threatened.
Yeah.
You are threatened by my strength, and I'm not going to apologize or be made to feel small for being a strong woman. Instead, I'm going to beat my chest and say, you're going to have to deal with it, right? Either you get down or you get rolled over, right? That kind of thing. And I like that. And if we were to go back even further, we'd see the same thing before Maya Angelou. We'd see it with Phyllis Wheatley. Right,
uh-huh.
Like this is sort of a through line in poetry, whether it's called rap music or not, it's still a through line.
And let's talk about rap music. You did it with finger quotes because you know rap music can sometimes take a hit, as you know.
Sure.
I happen to like rap music, but a lot of people say that it's misogynist.
Yeah.
That it's violent.
Yeah.
that it is not productive, and to that you say what about rap music?
I'd say listen to more rap music.
Listen to more because
I'd say do your work, right? Do your work. Don't always take the easy way out. I think that like is rap music misogynist? Some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it violent? Some of it. Is it complicated? Yes. Just like me. just like America, like our neighborhoods, right? It is all the things. Rap music can be comprised of every emotion and every instance, just like every other kind of music. So rap music gets this sort of bad rap, but every music has a little bit of that in it.
Yeah.
Right? Some good, some bad, some up, some down, some complexity, some nuance. It's just that our music sort of got the bad hit for it.
The other thing that impressed me is that you have a very special relationship with your mother. Number one, I would tell my favorite daughter, Kirby, somebody who is good to their mother and cares about their mother has a good foundation.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You talk about your mother quite often. You have a special relationship with her.
I do. My mom is sort of a cut above for me. I think she's cut from a very particular cloth. She's a woman who was born and raised in South Carolina. She moved to D.C. when she was 10 years old. And she's worked her entire life. I mean, we're talking about the age of 15 years old to the age of 55, working nonstop in the same company, retires, and then goes back to work as a school teacher and has been there for 13 or 14
years. Yeah, I like
that. Second career, right? And I think for me, what she gave me and my siblings, that she gave us fortitude. She taught us emotional and mental fortitude. No excuses. You stand up, you get your work done, you do what you need to do.
Yeah, no excuses. No because excuses. Your mom, can I see my iPad, Dana?
Yeah, because you're
Dana's a producer of this piece because we interviewed your mom in the piece yesterday, and I know you have a special relationship, and I asked your mom if she would join us on this conversation.
Let's see.
I asked her if she... we have this... What happened here?
So just so you know...
Yeah. Okay, so I asked her if she would FaceTime us. Okay, so I'm trying to FaceTime.
Calling my mother?
Yes.
Y'all ain't want to warn me? Y'all ain't...
Isn't that your mother's name, Isabel Rose?
That is definitely my mother's name.
Let's see if... I told her that we would try to call between 10 and 10:30.
Let's see if
what
my mother...
What would she be doing?
She's at work. We're just going to... Let's see if my mom knows how to work FaceTime. There's the real question. She probably doesn't. That's so... I wish she would, though.
I wish she would, too, because I want people to see your mom. And to see the difference that she made. It just says FaceTime. FaceTime unavailable.
I know. The old lady, she probably looked at her phone and said, I don't know what's happening. You know, she probably thought it was like something was wrong, a malfunction.
Something was wrong with the phone. All right.
I don't even know if she has FaceTime on that phone. But if she...
Really?
I don't know. My mother, don't get me started on that one.
The other thing that I thought was interesting about your life is that you went to University of Maryland.
I did.
And at University of Maryland, I'm thinking you got in even though you hadn't written the whole... You hadn't read a whole book.
Right.
And I said, how were you able to do that? And you said, listen, Gail, there's this thing called Cliff Notes.
there were Cliff Notes. And there were, I mean, this is a part of the story that is always, I'm never happy about it, but it's the truth. And it wasn't just me. I'm not an anomaly in this way. I think we were able to sort of navigate education in a way that got us by. So I had Cliff's Notes and you would, you know, read the first couple pages, read the middle, read the back half, and then sort of put it together using context clues. Or you would speak vaguely whenever the teachers asked you to sort of write an essay about something. You just sort of give a broad brush stroke to hopefully get a C plus
or
a B.
Yeah, Cliff Notes.
Right, you know.
And you majored in English at University of Maryland.
I did.
And so you tell a story about graduation day, which also sort of spurred you to say, oh, I'm going to prove them wrong, because you're an English major.
I was an English major.
And here you are sitting on the podium, very proud day in your life, graduating.
Absolutely.
And the
keynote speaker, the commencement speaker, he said, if you're getting a degree in English, you're going to be a teacher or a lawyer, but you will not be a writer. I'll never forget it.
And you walked out of there and said, what?
I'm going to show him, right? I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to prove a man I'm never going to see again wrong, you know?
Okay. Well, the name of the book is Long Way Down. I'll get to the book, because I had asked your mom if she would call in, knowing that I know she's technically challenged.
She is technically
challenged. But we did record her, so she did send a video message. So let's roll let's roll the videotape. We have to have a backup just in case. Let's roll the videotape, control room. Here it comes.
What up, Jason? It's Latifah. What's good? I know I look like a
you
big deal,
that.
Right? Now I'm actually on the set of my TV show Star, just outside the door, but I just want to take a minute to say peace. It's nice to meet you, even though it's in a video. But since you were too shy to speak to me, I figured I would speak to you. I think you're incredible. I love that my music and lyrics were able to open up your creativity and let you know that you could do what you already knew you could do. And thank you for blessing the kids with things that we can relate to. I read a lot of young adult books, so I'm about to dive through your old catalog. I look forward to meeting you one day. I really want to meet you, bro. In the meantime, stay up, keep doing your thing, and I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Whoa.
Good, right? Good, right?
That's crazy.
Good, right?
Oh.
No, so I wasn't really calling your mom. I was calling Queen Latifah on the set. And she said, if I could get away from filming, because she's filming right now,
yeah.
If I could get away from filming, I'll take the call live. If not, so she sent that tape as a backup. So I wasn't really calling your mother. I was calling Queen Latifah, because she said, I really want to talk to you. I reached out to her yesterday, and I sent her the tape, which she did watch. Marcy's here, is published. She did watch it yesterday. Not only did she watch it, she's already ordered your whole catalog, and she wants to read the book Long Way Down. And I said, wait till you get to the end, Dana, then we must discuss. So you are definitely on her radar screen. Shall we talk about Long Way Down?
You're going to drop this and then you're going to say, should we talk about Long Way Down?
Wasn't that a nice message?
That was, so I just have to say, I know we have to talk about the book, but yes. Shout out to Queen Latifah. I've waited a long time. You know, I just wanted her to know, right, that this is something that mattered to me, that her life, her music, that it mattered to me, and that it changed people that she may never know, that she may never meet. And then that change trickles down to a lot of other young people now whose lives get to be different because of the work that I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Latifah. I can't wait to one day meet you.
Oh, she really wants to meet you. And I guarantee you that's going to happen. I guarantee you. But I told her that she had come into a retail store where you were working.
Right.
And that you were too shy to say anything.
Didn't do it.
That's why she said, since you didn't say
didn't
anything
do it.
To me. But there she is, someone you've admired, and you don't walk up and say hello.
I'm not a very starstruck person. I'm not an excitable person, as everybody knows. But for some reason, when she came in the store, I couldn't make words. I couldn't.
You're a writer, Mr. Reynolds.
No, but we also were trained to not be that. It was all these things happening. And by the time I got the courage to say something, she had already left the store.
She left the store.
Never to be seen again.
No, that is going to be seen, because she's going to read this book, and I predict she's going to love this book.
Oh.
Long Way Down is the name of the book, and you tell the story in 60 seconds.
Yes.
What happens in these 60 seconds?
In 60 seconds, a young man named Will gets on an elevator. This is the day after his brother has been murdered. And he gets on the elevator with his brother's gun, and he is intending to go to the ground floor, walk outside, and take revenge on the person who he thinks killed his brother. And while on this elevator, he is met by several visitors.
But this is visitors from his past.
Visitors from his past who are no longer alive.
Who are no longer alive.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, what you talk about the elevator. Number one, the way it's written, it looks like a bunch of poems.
Yeah.
Put together. And each poem stands on its own, but you actually weave a story. So I like the writing style. But you said there's a strange thing about the elevator. Everybody gets on, they hit the button, blah, 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 blah. But you say they don't. Here, you read it. They don't speak. Read that part.
They don't speak to the people already in the elevator, and the people already in the elevator don't speak to the newcomer.
Yeah. That's so true. We all face the wall.
Absolutely.
You said those are the elevator rules, I guess. No talking, no looking, stand still, stare at the door and wait.
Stare at the door and wait.
Where did you get the premise of working in the elevator, though? I thought that was so interesting.
Well, the thing about this book is that everything mimics this young man's mind.
Mm-hmm.
So the elevator, the poetry, it's all supposed to be sort of siblings. Like, it mimics sort of his trauma, his pain, his anger. And so when I talk about the elevator rules, what I'm really talking about are the rules to trauma, rules to pain, right? A steel box, it's cold, it's empty, it's a little jagged, it's a little rickety, there's vertigo involved. That's what it means to feel pain, to feel anger at a certain level.
Yeah.
And with that anger comes rules, whether you're in an elevator or whether you're in your psyche.
But this whole book is about rules.
Yep.
The rules of the street. So let's talk about the rules.
Rule number one, no crying.
Okay.
No crying, right?
No
matter what happens, right? Direct connection to toxic masculinity. What does it mean to be tough, to be a man? You cannot cry. No emotion. Rule number two, no snitching.
Do you cry, Jason?
As often as I can.
Do you? Okay.
As often as
I can. Oh, this might be her. This is her.
Are we on?
This is her. Hey! Look! It's Queen Latifah! Oh, I'm so
no, put him over here.
For calling Queen Latifah.
Oh,
she's holding Jason's book. Thank you so much, Queen Latifah, for calling.
I've been waiting.
Good morning, Jason. What's up, man?
What's happening? I can't believe it. Did they tell you how that one time you came in a rag and bone and I couldn't speak to you? You came in there looking for sweatshirts.
Oh, it was rag and bone.
It was rag and bone, yeah. And you came in there, and I was a little stuck. You know, I apologize. You know.
Oh no, it's all good. I'm just glad you're on my radar now, because I already started reading the book today.
You did? So, you started reading it? Oh, good, good, good.
I went to Barnes & Noble last night. I had to get my books. I bought like $300 worth.
I just wanted to tell you while I got you here, I just wanted to say, I've been waiting a long time to say this. I just wanted to say that I'm grateful. You know, at the end of the day, I think that, like, we make art and we do the best that we can to make things that matter. But the truth is that you don't always know who they matter to, you know? And I was a kid. I was, like, 10 years old when I read the lyrics, when I read all the lyrics of the Black Rain album. And it chemically changed me. And I discovered poetry. And from there, this all happened, right? Like, you were a catalyst to the book you're holding in your hand is part yours, you know?
I mean, that's so deep because, as you know, you're absolutely right. As an artist, sometimes you write all of these rhymes and these thoughts, and you just, I guess the hope ultimately is that somebody hears you and feels where you're coming from. And to be able to inspire you like that is just like, that's, the, you know, my heart is light. I can't even say it's heavy. It's just light. It just... Word. You know, it is very inspiring. You have re-inspired me, so we give it back to each other.
Oh, and I said, Queen Latifah, you two will meet one day, right?
We will.
Yes.
Look, I'm getting my wig put on. I'm so, and I definitely have to meet.
All right.
So, make sure you know, Gamble gets your number so we can kick it.
Yeah.
You know, and I can tell you my thoughts about this book once I read it.
Yeah, for
all
sure.
Right.
And I give you some bars. I give you some bars when I meet you, you know?
What are bars? Is that music? Oh, it's rapping. No, Dana, my producer's going, it's rapping, Gail. Okay, losing my Black girl card. All right, thank you. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Peace. No
bye-bye.
Doubt.
Bye. That's so nice of
Crazy.
Her to call.
Y'all saw it?
That's so good of her to call.
Oh, that's crazy.
I know, I'm losing my Black girl card
it's
here.
It's all good.
I love Dana going as far as... Because when I interviewed Jason, we were talking about your look, about your dress.
Yes, yes.
And you said to me, this is all very deliberate.
Of course. This is deliberate. I look the way I look because I choose to, right? I walk into every space, and every space that I walk into, we like to say I assault the space, right? Like, I assault every space I walk into. But there are young people who need to know that, first of all, there are young people who look like me, right?
Yes.
Tattoos and long hair, sneakers and all of the things. And those
they're
young
intelligent,
people,
have a lot to offer.
And they should
saying,
know.
Don't judge.
Absolutely. Don't judge. And I also walk into spaces where people are a little nervous.
Yeah.
And that's also okay because I can also debunk their stereotypes. And you got to have a certain level of self-confidence to look like this.
Yeah.
And I walk out of the house feeling good about myself. I know my mama loved me, so I'm all right.
Yeah. No, I know. A lot of people are looking at you, falling in love with you today. Jason.
Oh.
Can I just finish the last two rules of the book? Because we did...
Yes.
Crying,
no snitching.
No snitching.
And always seek revenge.
And always seek revenge.
Those are the rules.
And so the crux of the book is, what is Will going to do from the time he gets on the elevator at the eighth floor?
Yep.
Eighth floor, down to the lobby.
Yep.
It's 60 seconds. He meets all these people. What, at the end of the day, is he going to do? And that's what you have to decide when you read that book. How does the book end? What is it, the decision that Will makes?
Yeah.
All I can say is bravo, bravo, bravo.
Thank you.
I think you've taught us all a lot.
Oh.
I think you've taught us all a lot in your creativity, your intelligence. And I can't wait to see what you do in your next chapter. And I can't wait for you and Queen Latifah to meet.
We're going
to
send you a
That's going to happen. Thank you very much, Jason
Thank
Reynolds.
You,
the name
I
of the book,
you.
Let me hold it up one more time. Long Way Down.
Long Way Down.
On sale today, wherever you like to buy your books.
For sure.
Thank you for listening. You can watch the full CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station.
Or you can stream it live on the CBS All Access app.
For more information, please visit cbsthismorning.com.